Mr. So Guan B, Real 5. Mr. So, why did you decide to leave the job at Serangoon Road?
Because the thing, I think the pay is a bit low, and I think I might as well quit and go for a better one. Then my friend told me there's one place which is very attractive to me, the pay as well as the job is a bit lighter for me. So I went and applied with a friend of mine, then he brought me and he gave me a pass. Then I went in to the Air Force there on General Road. So the officer told me, said, your duty is to supply foodstuff such as rice, soybeans, sugar, and that's all. So weekly we will have to supply it to the contractors. So every end of the week we will just calculate how many persons work during that time from Monday to Friday. Then Saturday we'll just issue it out to them. And every morning they'll come and fetch me up at the Rumah Miskin Police Station. They call it the Balestier Road corner of Serangoon Road Police Station. There's a police station where they call it Rumah Miskin Police Station. And the pickup, there's a small pickup only made out of, they converted from the old Austin. So they picked me up, then brought me in to the Army, the Air Force camp. Then we start work very early, about 7 o'clock in the morning. Then we have a break off, say lunch 1 to 2. Then by the time we start work again to 2 o'clock to about 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, like 4:30. Then usually our lunchtime we cannot go out from the Air Force camp there, you see. So usually every morning all the laborers will assemble at that place, and that my office was built by one row of four at that house, like, you see. And then two is a storeroom, two of them is a storeroom, the other one is an office, another one belongs to the officer, the Japanese officer. Three Japanese officers. So every lunchtime I have to go and collect their lunch. One, you know, I used to carry one round tub, and then I got to sit in the small lorry, go down to original. There's another one near this, what we call a present, now we call it MacPherson Post Office there, right behind, there's a very big workshop, Japanese workshop also, Japanese aeroplane workshop. They repair aeroplane engines and all this, and the guard rooms are all there also. So then, and the cookhouse is there also. So I went there to collect the officer will always give me a piece of paper first, how many persons, you know, entitled to take their lunch. The three officers plus our club, two, my chief, myself, five. Usually I go there and collect, and they always give what, you know, such as, you know, rice, ikan bilis, and fried with sugar and soy sauce. Sometimes they use soybeans, curd, they fried it up, and fish, salt, I mean fish which is fried fish, but they fried with sugar, you know. I don't know how they salt soybeans with sugar, and then they mix up and then they fry it. And sometimes they give meat. Only once a week I think they give you meat. Either beef, mutton or pork. No chicken, very few. Very little chicken they give, chicken. So after that, then you see usually they will branch out. The contractors are those people, the contractors, the supply workers. Usually they come and assemble in the morning, and they detail them, you know, the officers will detail them where to work, to build up hangars, you know, small, like branch out hangars, so they can build up, you know, Japanese, you know, aeroplane engines and all this around original road area. At present now they call it the Senate, because Serangoon Garden Estate, no, down below, below not Serangoon Garden Estate, that is what you call MacPherson Road area. And from MacPherson Road, the corner, up to the original road and Paya Lebar, one stretch up to there, and then down from Paya Lebar down, they come down to Paya Lebar, then come back to Sims Avenue, Sims Avenue, then comes down there to Sims Avenue, then Geylang, then original road, that's the ending original road, then comes in again for original road, then we go down to this sort of the Kolam Ayer, yeah, Kolam Ayer Road, Kolam Ayer, the whole big road belongs to the Air Force. They cordon up the whole thing, and then they build, you know, small hangars, you know, every one of them right behind. And the best part of it, the convent still going on, you know, they don't bother them at all. The convent is still functioning on. We are just convent Kasaruma. Right in front, our office is just right in front of the convent. At present now, the convent is still there.
When you left the job at Serangoon Road, how did you tell the Japanese personnel?
They are not worried about it, because why? You see, we are very young, and they think that we are only apprentice, so they can't be bothered about it. When we left the job, they will just get another one easily, you see, the young ones. So I improved myself to getting easier job and getting more pay.
When you applied this job at the Air Force in Aljunied Road, was there any kind of interview and questions?
Oh, not much of an interview. They only ask you whether you are really keen to work. Say yes, I'm very keen to work, because what we want is your rice, your rations as all. You see, they issue, sometimes they give you rations of cigarettes and you know, but mostly they give you rice and soybeans, that's right. Every week, it's a must. And the workers around about 500 to 600 workers every day assemble there. And they sometimes, these are workers like laborers, they level up the floor, I mean the road, and then they make a side road up from behind there. And this what we call they build up hangars, which they use to repair old aeroplane engines. And then the carpenters used to build up the hangars, the smaller ones, not very big. And they train the local soldier, they call it Hei Ho, that's right, the Hei Ho. The local army, Japanese army, the Hei Ho, he used to guard around there. You are not supposed to get near them.
Did they ask you why you left your first job?
I beg your pardon?
Did the Japanese ask you why you left the first job when you applied for
it? No, they never asked. That's the first thing, they never ask you anything about it. They only ask you, if you really want to work, you will come along and work. And don't absent from your work, he said, because they are very particular in it.
You said that the office was in front of the convent.
Convent, that's right, right in front of the convent, one row of at that house.
What, do they have a sort of a name for this?
I've got no idea, this is only a sort of a Japanese. The Japanese, they themselves, they got no signboard. Only we go in, there's only like a butai, they call it a butai, you see. You get in there and then you have to work. And those people like trucks and all these lorries are carrying up people, they got another long, big, long shit, you know, carrying people up and down to work. And early morning you see them, you tell them to go, and then in the evening, 4:30, 5 o'clock, you click sale, come back, and that's all. When it comes to ration time, they come and collect, everyone goes back. You know?
So the work was just to build
hangars and all this, you see, and roads inside also, just behind the compound also. At present now, they call it the circuit road, you know, circuit road there also, all enclosed there also, that belongs to them also.
Okay. What was the purpose of building roads and hangars in that
no,
area?
No, small road, because it's all full of coconut trees, you see. So it's just like camouflage out of anything. They can't even, if they want to attack, they see only nothing, you see. It's very well preserved, the place, very nice place.
I mean, what was the reason for the Japanese for wanting to build hangars and roads?
To repair, you know, they repair the Japanese engines and all this. And then, no, that all the people are staying around there was driven out. They can't stay there also because they are meant for the Japanese Air Force, you see. Quite a very big area, you know, very big. And we are not supposed to go there also. We only can go far out. If you see near the hangar there, they drive you out, get off. You cannot get near also.
So you wouldn't know what was going on in
No, can't. We can't. Unless you are detailed to go there. So.
Did you ever enter?
No. I went in as far as up to there. There's a pool there also. And then they say you better don't go. It's not wise.
To enter the
pool? Yeah, that is a protected area, they call it.
Were any local people allowed in or only the Japanese?
Only the carpenters, they only build up. And those people, laborers who level up the road. And that's all.
What would the carpenters be expected to do?
The carpenters are to build, you know, wooden shed up there, and then there's the hangar also, all made of wood, nothing else but wood.
But what went on inside the hangar?
The Japanese, all of them are Japanese people.
All Japanese. No local people.
No.
What was the? You mentioned that there was a long attack house with which is the office.
Yeah.
So what was the work within that office?
The work is to detail people to go to work on certain part of the location. Where they need any work, they'll come over to our office and say, I need so much people to go to their place and to work. And the next morning we'll supply them the workmen there.
So it's like the headquarters?
That is the labor, the labor supplying unit there. But the cookhouse is somewhere down Kolam Ayer, you know. The army camp, there's an army, real army air force camp there. A very big one, all Japanese soldiers, nothing else.
They camp there, stay there?
They stay there also. There is Kolam Ayer area.
This office, what kind of people were employed inside the office?
Ourselves only a few, and then all those people working as laborers, drivers and carpenters, all of them, all types, Chinese, Malays.
I mean, inside the
Indians
office, working inside the labor.
In our place, they are labor suppliers. We consider as supplying laborers to the Air Force people, the Indians mostly, I think. Mostly Indians, the Chinese are carpenters. And there's a lot of, what we call this, a lot odds and ends. They can do all sort of work, you see, like drivers and all this. They can drive and as well as they can work others.
But who will be working in the office, excluding the carpenters and the laborers?
You see, the office is only your three Japanese officers, myself and another one, my chief. He can speak Japanese very well as Mandarin. And there's another three Kapala, you know, the three Kapala is a Shanghainese, which can speak Japanese very well. He's a Shanghainese, but he speaks Japanese very well. And he's the only man who supplies carpenters to this Air Force. His name is Kasi. I remember his name is Kasi. Kasi. They call him Kasi. I still can remember. And the labor force is fellows, local people who speak Malays and Chinese, English, supply labor only. Like Indians, Malay, Chinese and all this together. See? But this chap, he speaks Japanese very well. He's a Shanghainese. And he's very good with the Japanese officers there.
The three Japanese officers in the office, what was their
rank? Their rank is one is the blue flag, the other one is a red flag, another one He's only a sergeant, I think.
What were their main duties?
Their main duties is to supply, to make sure that laborers, what they need, they get from my the people there, you see. You see, tomorrow we want so many people, you get the people and then come here. And then we will bring, they will detail them where to work, where to work. Like, see, today evening, you tell him, you see, you tell this chap, this Shanghainese man, this Chinese man, he knows Japanese very well. So he will get all in details, what to do, how many persons he want, how many carpenters, how many laborers and all this. But usually all the women comes, you see. But they will split it up, you know, in various places to work. So this chap, this Chinese man is a very, very smart in Japanese.
So the three
He's about 60 years old man.
The three Japanese officers, all their... Their duties were the same?
Yeah, the officers are around about 25 to 30 years old.
I mean their duties were the same? All three of them doing the same job?
Yeah, the same job.
Who was the highest, I mean, who among these three was there one who was in charge of the whole office?
Oh yes, there's only one chap who in charge of the whole office, but he always leave it to his assistant to carry out the duty. He only attend to those higher ranks, you know, goes up to the camp there. Inside there's another camp in Kolam Ayer, there's an Air Force camp there. They will talk to the higher authorities there. We got no chance to go in. Only I can go to the cookhouse, and that is all. No more. You cannot go anymore further. Before you go to the cookhouse, you go to the camp, you got to show the chief that piece of paper signed by the officer, show it to him, then he say, let you get in. If you got nothing, you cannot get in. Even if you got an armband, also cannot get in.
So of these three, who was the highest, who was the overall in charge? Of these three Japanese officers in the office?
The older one. The older one, that's the red flag. The red flag one only. But he uses his car, he never used put the red flag anything. Because in the camp, he never. Only he carried his sword along.
And the person after him was a blue?
Blue one, that's right. And then another one is an assistant three.
What about your chief? You said your
immediate. My chief is only he's elder than me, about say 7-8 years old. He's about 25 or so. He's a Chinese educated man and he can write Chinese very well. And he converse with the Japanese with the writing, the Chinese writing, so he knows, you see.
What was his main responsibility?
His main responsibility is to see the ration. To supply rations, what comes in, and my job is to weigh and just see how many person you are entitled to. So the officer have to sign, and we take his letter, see how many kilos or how many catties. Usually the time is how many catties, and we have to supply them. And my chief will calculate from there when we weigh according to the weighing machine there, and they just let them have it.
Did your chief have to be the one to make sure that the rations?
Correctly, yeah.
How did he order for the ration?
No, we got to see the chap, the man, he's a Shanghainese, that man is a Shanghainese. He will write down how many persons work during the week. Then he'll give us to my chief. And my chief will see to it. And there's another man, he's supplying only laborers. He also come and see to it how many catties he have to claim from us. Then we let the chief, their own chief, you know, labor chief, they will divide themselves again. We don't just give them five catties, no. We just give a lump sum to one lot to a person and they will divide themselves again. That's the easier way.
When the Shanghainese and the other...
Three of them, I think. One Indian, one Chinese, the other one is a Shanghainese. Three.
When the three of them give your chief the number of laborers...
The laborers, then there will be initial or signed by the chief, the Japanese officer. Then he will check through. He will go through what date, Monday, how many person, then he'll check through. Then he say, okay, you can give them. Then we give them, you see.
So where did your chief get the rations from?
Oh, usually from the Air Force camp, the lorry will deliver it to us, and put it in the storeroom.
Your chief had to place the order?
No. Usually they will give us so much, and then we use it up, then we let them know. Say how many thousand caddies, then we use up, then we give him the full sheet, how much is we shoot out, then the new stock will come in again.
So your job was just to assist
him? Just to assist him and just clear up what things we want, we give them, you see.
The three kapala, one is the Shanghainese, one is the Chinese supplier.
Yeah, Chinese laborers.
And
the Indians are supplying laborers also. The Chinese is supplying wiremen, they supply wiremen and fitters. You see? But usually we give them, they come and collect stores also, you know, such as like electrical goods, wiring, wires, and all this. They collect from us, so from there's a storeroom there.
Did you know how did these three kapala carry out their work?
He has to report to early morning to the Japanese also. Usually in the evening they'll tell him, tomorrow I want so many men and so many to go to these places and these places. Then he say, all right. Then tomorrow he'll detail these people and then they'll go. They will straightway get in the lorry and they go to work. I don't know where they gone. And in the evening they come back again. But we are supplied lunch, you know. Every lunch we are supplied by them.
Did the three kapala station in the office or did they move?
Go out with all the workers. And we have another. I told you about. There's another one. It's a cookhouse, so a small cookhouse there. They used to supply to the drivers now. Only porridge in the afternoon, porridge only, with vegetables and salt fish and stuff.
How was the relationship like between the Japanese and yourself?
No, it's all right. All are working all right nicely, except only those people used to steal things and all this. They are caught. It happened one incident, and one Indian was caught stealing, you know what, copper wires. It was caught and was tied to the steel plate, tied to the steel plate door on top of it. He's lying on top on the steel plate and the hot sun, you know. The whole day he was there, he asked for water, we dare not give him. Because the Japanese were saying that, if you give, you will be the one who will replace his place. So we dare not. And he's a very poor thing, his body all blisters. He's a very pity. Then they released him that evening. They did not bring him to the police station again. And give him a really good whacking, you know. They hit him until he's really pitiful. Tie him to the piece of what called steel plate on top of it, and never mind, it's a very hot sun. The whole day he's down there, you know, and asking for water, we couldn't get him. We could not help him. The Japanese were saying that if you want to help him, you take his place. Then how can we dare to do it? We just keep quiet, groaning every now and then.
Were the Japanese very fierce, for example?
Oh yes, they are very fierce. They really fierce when you really do something wrong, if they steal their things and all this. If you do a thing properly, they just don't bother you.
So if you, under normal circumstances, how would the Japanese treat you if you didn't do anything wrong?
No, our jobs are alright. We carry out normally everything, right? Only thing, we must be very courteous to them. Early morning, you must say, you bow your head down and say good morning to you. And that's all. Nothing else. And you see, just these officers always, they wear only one short pant, no singlet at all, the whole day. They don't even use a uniform. They only wear one short pant because it's so hot. All of them are that.
The Japanese officers?
And when the big shot comes in, maybe come for inspection, then they'll say, you better get dressed up quickly. Everyone going clean themselves, and then they dress up and wait for the officers to come in, go for inspection, come for inspection. And that is only once, quite a long time.
How was your relationship like with your chief as well as the three kapala and the other
members? Oh, it's all right. It's okay. All very good. They mind their own business, except they do what their duty, and then they carry on. At that moment, we don't know we want to go against the Japanese or not. We just keep on working as long as we get our rations. That's all.
Every day, how did you report to work?
Every morning, they will pick us up. We'll pick us up from there, from Balestier Road Corner and Serangoon Road Corner. That's in front of police station. They call it Rumah Misi Police Station. They pick us up there and go and bring up there to the guard. You know, there must be a guard exactly at MacPherson Road. Just at present, actually now is MacPherson Road Post Office. There's a gate there. And then you have to get down, all of them get down, and let them search whether what you have got, and it's okay, you can get in. And before you let them search, you must bow down your head first, then to a sentry, and then you see it's all right, then you get in.
So you have to pass through the guard first before.
Yes. Everyone got to go through the guard first before you get into work.
So was there a huge wall or a fence?
Oh, it's a fence, only a guard house. It's a guard house, and then fence both sides. Fence up, all fence up. You can't get in.
So what about the atap house, the office was within this?
It's inside the butai, they call it. You want to get in there, and then first we travel from our MacPherson Road there, we go up, then up to at present now they call it the MacPherson Road Post Office. There's a main gate, the guard will be there. Then after that we pass the guard, we get in, up there then we turn right to Alginate Road, turn right. Then from there we turn right, we go up a bit more, say about quarter mile or so. Then you can see the school, Casanova School, that's right. That is the place where my office is. One row of attap houses, and then one stretch of one big shed, like they keep lorries and all that, you see, to supply transport. You see.
So when you reach the office, who did you report to? Do you have to report to the chief or to the Japanese?
No need, we just go to our office and sit down, and it's the same. The moment they see us there, it's alright. Because they depend on me, because every day I got to collect their lunch. And you must be trustworthy, or else what happened? If I put something poison in their food, you see? He told me you must be trustworthy, he said. He showed me his salt, he said, you be careful, carry, never let go the food anywhere. The moment you carry the food, must be quickly bring back.
So it was a very big area that was
very big. How they fence up now? From MacPherson Road straight, then comes to this original road. They call it the original road. Original road, you know. Original road then comes up to original road in Palib. They call it the Serangoon Road. Upper Serangoon. Then back to Palibar, then down to Sims Avenue. Sims Avenue back again to Original Road, then come to MacPherson Road. But MacPherson Road, there's another one. They fence up from there. There's another big butai, they call it the Air Force. All the Japanese personnel stay there. Is from Kolam Ayer, MacPherson Road to Kolam Ayer, up to Sims Avenue, all blocked up. You got no chance to move there. They are all guarded by the Japanese. That's a very big place.
So what was your daily routine like?
My daily routine is to report to them and then collect their lunch and then come back, supply. Sometimes we check those when they ask us to check whether how many people are working and all this, and then that's all. And then after that, we supply ration to them. It's a very simple job. And later, I found out not much use, so I think I got not much experience to that. So I just wanted to move out. The Japanese were saying that, why you want to go away? It's a very nice place for you to work. You can be, you are trusted with